From the protectors of the internet, the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, it's the PKO Podcast.
Welcome to the PKO Podcast. My name is Kagan, and today I've got Ryan with me. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Doing good. It's good to be back here on what I think is going to be a very important topic to discuss today.
Hey, absolutely. As always, I've got a joke for you here today. This one actually came from a kiddo I met during an internet safety presentation. Are you ready?
Always looking forward to the jokes to start, so let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, why did the computer go on a diet?
I've heard a lot of computer jokes from my own children, so I'm trying to think and actually beat you on this one, but I can't think of why the computer went on a diet.
Oh, I'm excited then. It was trying to reduce its cookie intake.
Trying to reduce. That's the best, though. This is number three for me so far, and the technical aspect of the cookie intake makes that a good one from one of the kids at a safety presentation.
I know. So I know. He's a middle schooler. I was like, we got to get this guy writing us these jokes here. But, you know, speaking of important topics, speaking of internet safety discussions, as we like to speak to here on the PKO Podcast, I kind of wanted to talk to you today more about those. So Thorn, a nonprofit organization dedicated to preventing the sexual exploitation of children, recently released a report titled Responding to Online Threats, Minors' Perspectives on Disclosing, Reporting, and Blocking. And for those listening, we'll include a link in the podcast description as well. But they aim to identify some types of online threats that children are facing while on the internet. It's a report based on around 2,000 respondents, you know, kiddos in the United States. And they include some snippets from those that have experienced these issues online. And some of the data is pretty eye-opening. And I think it's important that we lay out to parents that it's never too young to start having some internet safety talks with your children.
Yeah, I would certainly agree. So I hadn't seen the study until we prepared for the podcast here, but looking through it, I think what's really unique about this is we see a lot of perspectives from parents, adults in the community, or ourselves in law enforcement, but an adult perspective when it relates to online safety for children. But something we rarely see, especially in a study like this, is statistics related to what children are actually telling us as to what they're seeing online, the dangers they're being exposed to. So it was very interesting to read through and see some of the statistics out there about just what the kids are telling us, the dangers that they're facing, and also some of the challenges maybe that they're facing when it comes to reporting those dangers that they've been exposed to. So it leads us into this discussion today about how can we as individuals either in law enforcement or in this case, you know, individuals overseeing people that are on the internet and children on the internet, how can we start those safety talks early to combat some of those challenges that kids are reporting they're having?
Yeah, certainly. And some of the interesting stats, there's three that really stood out to me while going through this document. And we're going to kind of look at those through the lens of where it's important to have some, you know, internet safety talks with your children about this. The first one being that about 25%, a quarter of 9 to 17 year olds have reported having had a sexual interaction with someone they believe to be an adult. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean any interaction that is physical or touch kind of piece of it. However, it could be like a sexual comment, someone asking for a photo, just words that are shared on the platform that maybe had a sexual nature. And the fact that that's a quarter of all juveniles who reported in the survey is pretty worrisome to me. And with that, about 50% reported that, you know, when they blocked a user on the platform, maybe when something like this happened, were recontacted again under a new or similar identity where they thought it was the person they had tried to block. And then lastly, about 31% of the minors said that they would, in theory, tell a caregiver if someone they believed to be an adult sent a nude photo of themselves. But only 6% of those who had this experience actually did tell their caregiver that this happened. So it seems like there's maybe some aspect of worry that if something like this was to happen, that they wouldn't want to come forward or talk to what had happened.
Yeah, I would agree. So a couple takeaways there I had from a law enforcement perspective, and I think it's important to pass on, is first off that age range. So we talk about 9 to 17-year-olds, and we start to envision sometimes that these are conversations maybe we should have with our teenage audience as they begin to get into a middle school or high school setting, and some of the social media platforms that they are on. Are going to expose them to these types of things. But what we're seeing more and more in a law enforcement setting is children being sexually exploited online at a younger age. So we know from this study here and from the cases that we're investigating that it's very important to have these conversations at a young age with our children, because we have respondents here as young as 9 years old reporting that they're being exploited online. And I would say that's certainly the case in cases that are being referred to us. It's certainly alarming, is that last stat that you pointed out there, that we have just over a quarter of the respondents saying they would actually report it. Well, that means about 70% of the respondents are saying they would not report it. And of those that would report, a very small percentage, under 1 in 10, are actually reporting this contact that they're having. We do have these offenders that are very persuasive of children, very demanding of children, and we see that in the stats too, where they're reporting that they're being recontacted by offenders that they've blocked. So there is a lot of pressure put on children to produce the content that they are producing, and very alarming is the fact that very few of them are actually reporting this to somebody to try and get assistance in combating that problem.
Yeah, and it is a major issue that we have seen, like you're talking about, Ryan. And we've seen in reports from the cyber tip line of what we see kind of rolling through. And it's why it's really important that we highlight, some important aspects of the reporting mechanisms available to us, either through the cyber tip line, through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or even teaching and speaking with your kiddos on how to report when they see, disingenuous, or in this case, with the sexual interaction portion, illicit behavior to those platforms, not only to try to get that individual blocked, to maybe start the conversation about getting themselves protected and potentially, law enforcement or adults involved to help stop those interactions. But, one of the important things we have to look at is, how do we start having those conversations? And Ryan and I are going to kind of talk about a couple few points that we recommend to kind of start those, to make sure that internet safety is in the eye and focus for us, with our kiddos.
Yeah, so one of the tips that I would have with that certainly is starting these conversations early. And we see that from the statistics here in this study that we just referenced, that we have respondents as young as 9 years old reporting they're being sexually exploited online. I can tell you from the cases that we receive here at the Department of Justice on a daily basis, we're seeing cases referred of self-exposure by children or sexual conversations trying to get children to perform sexual behaviors online with kids, 9 years old, sometimes unfortunately even younger than that. So we certainly have to start these conversations early. And I think sometimes when I'm out in the community, I see the prevalence of these conversations starting at that teenage age range when we start to have regular use of cellular devices, online social media platforms, then we start to have those conversations. The unfortunate part is we've almost started too late at that point, because we have children that, even if it's in a limited sense, have been online for several years and may have run into some of these influences negatively that we've talked about, but nobody's talked about what to do when that situation approaches them. So starting early and having early conversations with children is vital when it comes to the protection of children online.
Absolutely. And we talk a lot about, with these early conversations, that it isn't always easy to address those at the beginning, because kiddos only understand things as far as they have experienced life. So using age-appropriate language is a critical piece that we always recommend. And one of the great ways to do that, that we've recommended in the past, is making sure to kind of use more real-life examples, right? So when your kiddo's learning to ride a bike, they should wear a helmet. You can kind of use that in a similar way to speak with your kiddo of like, well, think of it like riding a bike. When you want to get on the internet for the first time, you need something to protect yourself. And knowing your kiddos the way you do, kind of using some examples from your own experiences, or maybe things you've done where there's been a moment where you needed to do a little bit of protection. Maybe you were on like a hiking trip and you needed to make sure that you stayed on the right side of the path, so you had to get to see the view, but you didn't have to worry about a cliffside or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just, tailoring that language to what's appropriate for your child. And this is a hard issue for us from law enforcement to kind of talk to folks about, because one question we get asked a lot is, what is the conversation I should be having? And the answer of that can vary for every child, even if they're the same age, an 8-year-old or 9-year-old child, based on their maturity, their life experiences, or other factors like that, can really impact how we have that conversation with that child. So it's really knowing what's best for your child and knowing the conversations that are best, but certainly relating it back to real life experiences. As adults, we know some of the extreme dangers that can come with inappropriate online behavior, but children are oftentimes very naive to that, and they haven't had the appropriate life experiences or knowledge to have that information. So tailoring that conversation and scaling it back from that to something that they can relate to in real life experiences that emphasizes still at the same time the importance and dangers that can be presented to us online is certainly one of the best ways, I think, to go about having those conversations.
No, absolutely. I think that was very well put, Ryan. And really, lastly, one of the big things we talked to is just be supportive. And it sounds a little asinine at the front end, but having a non-judgmental conversation with your kiddo is super crucial. We see these in the study by Thorne. We see this in other studies as well that highlight that, you know, one of the main worries that kiddos have with reporting about this or talking about these experiences is that their parents might get mad. And it's completely reasonable to get, you know, mad or frustrated or sad about what has happened. But, you know, to make sure that your kiddos want to share and are able to share, a lot of times it is coming at that in that more neutral state to allow for that conversation. Because, like Ryan had said, they haven't had these experiences yet, and they shouldn't have to have these experiences yet. But to be able to kind of go down that line, that's kind of what we need to make sure that we kind of create a more safe space for them to be able to have these conversations should it be happening. But Ryan, with that, I appreciate you joining us today, bringing some of your insights. Anything else you'd like to share with our folks out there before we close up today?
I don't think so. You know, these are very important conversations to have. And the only other thing I would add in there is providing resources to children at a very young age as to safe individuals they can talk to, even if that's not a parent. So the same way we would relay to a child, you know, somebody they can talk to if other dangers present themselves in life, such as a teacher, a trusted adult, another family member, we need to provide those resources to children. Because one takeaway from this study too was the lack of resources or lack of knowledge of resources sometimes as to who a child can report to. So have these conversations early, but also provide tools to children in those conversations as to if they are exploited online or presented or made to feel unsafe online in a dangerous situation, somebody that they can talk to get on top of this right away and try to combat what they're dealing with on the internet.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us here today, Ryan. We always enjoy having you on the podcast.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For those out home, feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, thoughts, desires on what we might cover. We'd love to look into any kind of topic for y'all. And as always, stay safe.